Ready to hear the word of God?
Yes.
I want to talk to you this morning about church growth. Because I think we're in a time and in a place in our world where more and more people need God, do they not? More and more people need God's love. More and more people need the truth of who God is. And they need hope. They need peace. They need peace of mind. And they need what we have, right? Of course they do. So very often, you know, we pastors, we want to see our church grow spiritually, of course. That's always the first and foremost importance of a church, is to make sure we're all spiritually enriched and growing spiritually. And then we also want to grow numerically. And so there's all kinds of ways that churches can grow. And there's all kinds of theories and websites and all kinds of programs that are out there that say how to grow your church. But see me, I'm an old-fashioned person. I believe the Bible shows us how to grow. I think that everything we need to know about how to do anything, we find in Scripture. I just believe that. I know it to be true. And if we could only live the Scriptures, then I think our lives would be a little more peaceful, calm, loving, and we could see how God can move and work, right? So this morning, I want to look at us and look at you and help you understand how we as a church will grow. And when we say grow, we're talking numerically. So this is where you get to participate. You ready for that? And I want to tell you how it happens. But I'm going to go to the book of John and show you that, because I have three different people that I'm going to preach about this morning that are in Scripture. And we're going to see a trend or a pattern. At least I saw a trend and a pattern of how God moves and works to grow his church, to grow people in the church as well. And so in John chapter 1, verse 35, it's a story where Jesus is, John the Baptist was first going out to preach about Jesus. And in verse 35, it says, John was again standing with two of his disciples as Jesus walked by. John looked at Jesus and then declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." Then John's two disciples turned and followed Jesus. So what are we already seeing about how do you grow? We have John, right? And we have his disciples with him. And what does John do? He points to Jesus, right? So the first thing for each and every one of us, for all of us who are followers of Christ as John the Baptist was, and as believers in Jesus Christ, the very first thing in order for us to grow a church is to always point the way to Jesus, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away all of our sins, all of our fears, all of our regrets, all of everything in our life. Jesus can take all of our burdens as well. And so we're here to point always first to Christ. And maybe that's probably obvious to you why we name this church Christ the Cornerstone. So everything, we know that it's through Jesus Christ that everything is and exists and happens. So we watched John take and grow a church immediately, didn't he? Pointing out Jesus. Those two disciples left John and did what? Follow Jesus. Let's go down further. Verse 43. No, I'm going to back up a second. Verse 38. Jesus looked around and saw them following and said, "What do you want?" They replied, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" So what do we see those disciples doing? Going to find out where Jesus is. So that's what a church is meant to be. This is the place where Jesus is, right? So when we bring people here, they're going to find Jesus Christ, are they not? And who God is. "Come and see," Jesus said. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place, and they stayed there the rest of the day. Just imagine being in Christ's presence the rest of the day. Could you all use a little bit of that kind of rest? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who had heard what John had said and then followed Jesus. Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." What transpires? What do we see happening? Goes and testifies. "Look, I found the Messiah. I found someone who changed my life. Come and see." The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. Looking intently at Simon, he said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Right away, God already, through Jesus, already changes Peter. pretty fast, don't you think? When we come into the presence of Christ, we get changed. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, be my disciple." So now we see Jesus going out looking for disciples, right? He finds Philip. He says, "Come and be my disciple." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Verse 45. Philip went off to look for Nathanael. You see what's happening here? You see a pattern yet? Somebody's finding somebody and bringing them to church. That's how churches grow. If you know people, anybody know people? Okay, so some of you know people, right? What if you went and found them and say, "Hey, come and see. Come and see what I know. Come and see how I am happier, more peaceful, how even in times of trouble and turmoil, I can still have a smile on my face and have trust and faith in God. And I have a God who's right by my side to see me through difficult times. Come and see what I know." And here's what often happens. Philip went off to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth?" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from there?" What's happening? A little resistance, right? You ever invite anybody to church and they go, "Church? You want me to go to church? You want me to go be with those Bible thumpers? You want me to go with those Jesus freaks? Those holy rollers? You want me to go do that? Does anything good come from a church? Look at all those hypocrites in a church. They're nothing but hypocrites. Look at what's going on in our world. They're hurting people. Who wants to go to a church?" And what happens when you hear that resistance? You go, "Never mind. That's okay. I'll go by myself." See, the thing of it is, not everybody's going to be receptive, are they? And look at the next verse. Here's the answer to that. When somebody says that kind of stuff to you, or if you read it out on Facebook about how bad Christians are, next verse, "Just come and see for yourself." Just come and see for yourself. Come and see if this church isn't different from all the other churches you've ever attended. Come and see for yourself if there isn't really unconditional love and mercy and grace and love for all of us. Come and see that lives are changed for the better in this place. And this church is about serving others, feeding others, caring for others, counseling others, helping people be themselves and know that they're accepted just the way they are, no matter where they come from, what their background is. Just come and see for yourself. Check it out. Verse 47, "As they approached, Jesus said, 'Here comes an honest man, a true son of Israel.' And Nathanael says, 'How do you know me?'" If you've ever come to this church, do you ever wonder why the sermons come out and you think you have a microphone or video somewhere in your home and you say, how did the pastor know to preach that message to me? Do you ever feel that way every once in a while when you're sitting here and going, and you know, sometimes you want to like head for the back door, right? It's like, or you feel something stir inside of you. Or maybe a conversation you might have had with a friend or a loved one, suddenly it's like that conversation comes and hits you in the face and an answer comes, right? Listen, it's because God knows us all so intimately. It's not me. I do not put any kind of speakers on your back or any kind of paraphernalia to monitor you. There's no GPS, no chips put on you. We don't know where you are, what you're thinking. But God does. And God sees every one of your concerns, all your tears, all of your worries, all of your stirrings inside of you, all of the things that bother you. God sees that. How do you know me? Well, that's who God is, right? And then Jesus said, "Well, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? I saw you before you were even asked to come here. So I look at it this way. There are people that you're going to bump into that God sees a need for this specific church. And you're going to bump into them because God sees them. And somehow, some way, God's going to prompt you because it's going to come to your mind, I should invite them to church. They need God, right? And maybe you don't know how to start the conversation. Maybe all you have to say is, you know, I see what you're going through. I think I know a place where you can find some peace. Come and see for yourself. Because some of us are having divine appointments with other people, and you may or may not even know it. But be alert to that, because I know God sees them way before they get here, way before. And we just have to follow, remember the prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? We talked about that. When you get prompted, you hear God or feel God, and something in your gut says, that person over there, even if you, I don't care where you're at, you could be at a thrift store and going down the aisles and you hear a crash, bam, boom, and you walk over there and try to help them put the things back on the shelf, and something tells you this person's going through a difficult time. You feel that from people, can't you, if you're paying attention, right? Because God's putting that on you. And all you have to say is, I'll pray for you, but you know what? Do you go to church anywhere? Come and see. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. And if they resist and say, church? What kind of, you want me to go to church? I'm done with churches. I've never been to a good church yet. You're going to say, just come see for yourself. Very good. I'm giving you word language. You're going to do it. I love it. Teaching. All right. Nah. And look what Jesus says to Nathanael. Nathanael then responds, you're the Son of God, right? I mean, once Nathanael gets in contact with Jesus, you know, once you get here, you feel God here, don't you? You know God is here, big time. You can't walk through these doors and not feel God, right? You do. And that's what happens to people that come here. And then Jesus says, not only, you know, you're going to believe because I saw you under the fig tree, but you're going to see even greater things than this. And as, you know, once you become a part of this church, and for all of you that are brand new here, you've had some awesome things happen since you've been here, right? Yes, right? You ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see great, more magnificent things. You're going to be different a year from now, a month from now, 6 years from now. You're going to be so different and blessed and so powerful, spiritually speaking, you won't even recognize yourself in the mirror. Seriously. Because it won't always be that sad self. The happy self will come, right? Because you'll find peace and joy in Christ. So that's what transpires with Philip. See, I want to use Philip as an example. In the fact that we might invite people to church to help it grow, to help, and we're not helping it grow for the church's benefit, right? We understand that. Our motivation is to bring people to Christ so that they have a relationship with God, so that they too can have what we have, salvation and eternal life, and a life that's different. Even though bad things happen, we have a church family to help support us and encourage us and be there with us and through those things, right? That's what we're here for as a body of believers. We're all one body in Christ. And you know, all of us are here together to be together, to help you see your way through. That's why we exist. And go out of these walls and help the world at large, whatever that world is for us. You know, ministering to our neighbors. The whosoever's, whosoever, whoever God sends us to, they're all our neighbors, right? Of course. Now, in John 4, we see a similar situation where Jesus is by himself now traveling, and he's going through Samaria. And this is how Jesus operates, by the way. He sometimes, and remember, I believe that Jesus Christ is in all of you, right? Through the Holy Spirit, right? So when we're traveling wherever we're going, we're Jesus on earth, correct? Right? All right, we understand that concept. He had to go through Samaria. So while he's in Samaria all by himself, he happens to bump into a Samaritan woman. And what transpires by that well is she says to Jesus, wait a minute, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Sound familiar in our world today? The scriptures are still true, right? And not only was she a Samaritan, she also says, you're talking to a Samaritan woman. Two strikes against her. Men had nothing to do with women, and Samaritans had nothing to do with Jews. And so therefore, what in the world is Jesus doing? Breaking all the rules, isn't he? Does this not show who God is? There is no difference between Greek or Jew or Samaritan. There is no difference between any one of us on the planet. We all understand that, do we not? Everybody needs God, right? Everybody needs love, right? And therefore, we don't separate. We don't separate gender, male versus female. We don't do that. Sexuality, we don't do that. We don't separate that. Color, we don't do that. Ethnicity, we don't do that. Even the teams you root for, we don't do that. We still love you anyway. By the grace of God. And you still love us, right? Think about the things that divide people, though. God is not a God of division. He's a God of multiplication. He doesn't know division. Only Satan does. Divide and conquer. God is a God of multiplication and addition. Never subtraction. He never takes from you. He adds to you. And even if he takes from you, he adds something different to you to make up for. Right? Multiplication. So here's Jesus. He meets a Samaritan woman. And they have this long conversation. And he says, look, I know you're thirsty. Drink from me. He offers himself to her, a Samaritan, which was unheard of. And that's who we are as a church. We offer a drink of Christ to everybody, no matter who they are, where they're from. Right? Of course we do. Everybody's thirsty. Everybody needs a drink of the living water. And we offer it to everybody. We don't say, well, what are you? What religion are you? Where did you come from? Because all of you have backgrounds in all kinds of religions, right? Many of you that are in this church today, we don't have a religion here. We only have Jesus Christ. It's not about a religion. It's not about following rules. It's about following Christ's example of love and mercy and grace and all the things that he brought to this world, right? Right. So we don't care where you came from. You might have some traditions that you like that a church does. And every once in a while, we'll pull open a hymnal for you. But, you know, we may not. But it's not about that, is it? It's about your relationship with God and with each other. That's what matters the most. And we do unheard of things. We welcome everybody here and always will. And that's what Jesus did with this Samaritan woman. He said, drink of me. And so they have this conversation, right? And then she tells him about herself. He says, go and get your husband. She said, I don't have one. Uh-oh. See, that's another X on her. No husband? You've had 5 husbands. Whoa, what does that make her? Whoa, okay, that means, therefore, she's not allowed, right? Not according to God. He says, I know all about you. And he says, what you need is the Messiah, a Savior. To share your life with, to love you as a husband would in the right ways, right? And so she says in verse 25 of John 4, I know the Messiah will come, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Yes, he will. Then Jesus said, I am the Messiah.
Whoa.
And all of a sudden, the disciples show up. His church shows up. And they go, Jesus is talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman. It's against the law. But look what transpires. They were astonished, but none of them asked him why he was doing it. They just watched what he did. See, sometimes things that we are called to do and be for others, how to love them, may astonish you who sometimes walks in these doors. And if you've been one of those people that's kind of dragged yourself in here and you come in a little rough looking, and we have had those people and we'll continue to have those people walk in here, and sometimes we're astonished at how beaten up they might be, spiritually speaking or physically speaking sometimes. You can see it on people sometimes, right? We see how down they feel. We're astonished that they made it through the door, but we're glad that they did. They didn't say a word. The woman left her jar of water beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone. Oh, what does she say? Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah? So here's what transpires. She told her testimony to those people in her village, right? She went back to her village. Do you all have a village? You have people you hang out with? That's your village, by the way, right? That's your village, your peeps, right? You got your peeps, right? You know who they are, right? They're your Facebook friends, right? Whoever they may be, right? Those are that's your village. Listen, if God has done anything for you in your life for the better, you have a responsibility to those people in that village to tell them so that they can come and meet this Messiah that you know and love and who loves you and them. Because they need help too, don't they? Yes. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Isn't that awesome? They came streaming. I pray for the day people come streaming into these doors. Who's leading them? The Samaritan woman, right? She's like the Pied Piper of people right there, right? Bringing her peeps to Jesus. That's how a church grows. That's how it grows. We don't keep it to ourselves what God has done in our lives. We share it with others and say, come and see. Come and meet the God that I know. That's not the God you read about or hear about or you think other people are trying to tell you about that's so hateful and condemning. That is not our God. Let me come and see for yourself what our God is like. The real true God that we know and love, right? Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. See, she told her testimony, right? That's part of why they believed. She told them something really like, you know, maybe some of you in this room, God's helped you quit drinking, quit smoking, lose some weight, whatever it might be, become a better person, cuss less at the traffic. I don't know what it is that God's done for you. Made you more forgiving of others. Maybe not stop beating up yourself more, right? Or things of that nature. You do it less, right? You have more hope. You have more optimism. You see the brighter side of things. You put on the rose-colored glasses instead of those dark ones that more negatives are actually come forward for you, right? You have changed, have you not? Right? For the better. Now, you may not be there yet, but your work's in progress, right? We all are. That's your testimony to tell others and bring them to come and see what God can do for their life as well. He stayed there for 2 days, long enough for many to hear his message. What's his message? The message of love and forgiveness and mercy, and that we're all in this together. There's no difference between any of us. So that's the Samaritan woman's story. So far we have Philip, who was a Jew. Now we have the Samaritan woman that God uses to what? Grow his church. And thirdly and lastly, a short story about Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. The exact opposite of a Samaritan or a Jew. He was a Gentile. Most of us were considered Gentiles because we're not Samaritans or Jews. We weren't brought up that way, in a religious way. And Peter sees a vision from the Holy Spirit telling him to go to Cornelius, because Cornelius had prayed to God for God's help. So here's this man, Cornelius, who happened to be a Roman officer. Roman. Remember the Romans? Remember who helped crucify Jesus? Romans. So exactly, the Roman people are not exactly like on the top list of, hey, I want to go eat dinner with them. Right? They killed Jesus. Right? So the Holy Spirit says to Peter, hey, I'm going to show you a vision. He shows him a vision of animals, and he says, take and eat. And Peter says, I don't eat any of that. I'm Jewish. I'm Orthodox. And God says, don't call anything unclean that I call clean. Don't say anything's unacceptable that I say is acceptable. That's what he says to him. So that's teaching Peter what? Don't judge between peoples. Right? We're not here to judge who's different from us, are we? And so the whole story goes that Peter, after having that vision, goes to Cornelius. And then I want to just go to Acts chapter 10. And it says, verse 21, so Peter went down and said, I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? And then, I'm sorry, Cornelius sends his Roman officers to go get Peter. Verse 24, rather. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him, not by himself. This is the cool part. Not by himself. He had called together his relatives and close friends to meet Peter. He already set up a whole assembly of his close friends and relatives to meet Peter. Because Cornelius, God had told Peter through a dream and also told Cornelius as he was praying, I'm going to send Peter to you. And so Cornelius assembled people, and who shows up? Peter. Jesus shows up with Peter, obviously, through the Holy Spirit, right? Every once in a while, you're going to be invited to people's homes. Maybe a Super Bowl party, as an example. And around those people, as they're eating their wings and all those other things that go on with football games, there might be some people there that don't come to this church. And they're all assembled there. Now, you can root for the appropriate team or the other one. And or you can stay realizing that you're on earth not to root for football teams, but to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Christ wins every game, right? Everyone. Amen. Everyone. Defeats every enemy, right? He hasn't lost yet. And you may get on an opportunity of a conversation because those people have gathered together. God may very well use you in that moment to say, hey, you know, this is great. I like being here. Hey, you know, I had a great, awesome time at church today. And I'm rooting for the pastor's team. No. And I'm, no. And, you know, a time ago I was going through some difficulty. And even though we're playing and having a good time here, you know, God really changed my life. And I'd like for you to, next Sunday when you're not doing anything in the morning at 10 o'clock, why don't you come with me and come meet this God who helped me through my difficulties or whatever, or bless my life for the better or whatever, right? We have three examples, Philip, Samaritan woman, and Cornelius, the Gentile. And the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and all of those assembled there. And they, right then and there, what was formed? A Gentile church, if you will, right? You see how churches grow. They grow from one-on-one, and it took one person, right? It just took John pointing out Jesus to others. One guy, John. Then it took one woman, the Samaritan woman of all people. One woman. And then it took one Roman, who is not such a great guy in most people's eyes. It took one other man. See, it only takes one of you. One of you, whatever one you are, you might be a Philip, you might be a John the Baptist, you might be a Samaritan woman, you might be a Gentile, you might be whatever label you want to put on yourself, but you're all a person that God loves, right, and can use. That's all I ask of you in the coming days, weeks, months ahead. As you are with your peeps, whoever they may be, if they're in need, we pastors, we're happy to go to them. Even if they don't attend this church, we're happy to minister to them and with them and for them. We'll provide weddings for them. We have memorial services if so needs. We have baptisms of homes. We have cleaning out of spirits of homes. There's all kinds of things that we're willing to go and do for your peeps. Or if you want to have them come and just see, what's this church like anyway? I don't know about you, but I find us to be a pretty good church with pretty good people. There's not a perfect person in here, is there? So if you know some people who aren't perfect, they're the perfect people to invite here. And if you get some resistance, or you may not, just say to them, Just come and see for yourself. Here's what happened to me. Now, it may not be that spectacular for you. Could be more, could be better. But I know somehow, some way, you'll feel God in that place. So in the days, weeks, months ahead, as we pray to grow our church, I'm putting the responsibility on you and on ourselves as well. That we, whoever we meet, who our peeps are, we invite them here to come and see. We tell our testimony, if that's the method by which God uses. Or we just say to them, just listen on the internet. Maybe you'll get a smattering of what it's like there by hearing it first, if that's what you need. But when you say come and see, that also means perhaps you're like the Samaritan woman who leads them in here. You may have to push, pull, or drag, or drive them here, right? Or carry, you know, whatever. But if you knew that you could change a person's life for the better, if you knew that you could help a person be healed and have their pain taken away, to have their chains broken and help them be set free, if you knew that you could make a huge difference to somebody's salvation and eternal life, wouldn't you want to be the one that's like Philip and the Samaritan woman and Cornelius? You know, we all live lives. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. Not a one of us. But the time we do have is work to be done for God and all that God is. We can make such a difference as a church body if all we'll do is say to people, come and see. Just come and see for yourself. Amen.